We learn many different lessons throughout life, right? Some were self-taught, some of them were taught to us by teachers. How many of you remember your very favorite teacher in school? How many of you were in a one-room schoolhouse? How many of you had one teacher from kindergarten all the way through high school? Okay. So we learn all of these lessons. How many? Okay, think back to all of the parental lessons you learned in life. Did you learn them from your mother, your father, a grandfather, grandmother, aunts, uncles, and all of the things that you've learned over the years? One of my great-grandfather's phrases was always, pull your own weight. Do the job. Do it right. Any job worth doing is a job worth doing it right. My goodness, my grandfather always said that. And he would, I used to mow. I used to love to mow my great-grandparents' yard. And if you're like me, you tend to be a little bit OCD about the way you do things. And so my great-grandfather was, he mowed his yard a certain way. And if it wasn't mowed that way, he wasn't mad. He wouldn't get upset. He would wait till I was done, and he'd get on the mower and redo it. Not just the spots that he thought were out of sorts, or I missed, but he would do the whole thing over. If I didn't pick up all of the walnuts in the yard, he would go out there and make sure they were picked up. And he would make sure that I knew that I missed some walnuts. Those life lessons that we learn. I tell you this, when I'm on a mower, and I'm turning and coming into a section that I have to cut, what do I always look for? That clump of grass that I always missed. Right? You always look for that. I never blow my grass clippings into the roadway. That was basically a death sentence to my great-grandfather. Okay, it was a bad deal. It was a bad day if you did that. And so all of those lessons that I've learned over the years, I've carried those on in my life. Now think about all of the life lessons that you've learned throughout the years. I want to ask you, who taught you these lessons? Number one, and well, let's do it this way. Who is responsible for teaching these life lessons? Is it the church? Is it the school? Is it the family? Or is it society? Number one, teaching kids to spell. Is it the church, the school, the family, or society? Okay, so right there, right off the bat, we got all kinds of different answers. Potty training. Is it the church, school, family, or society? Family. Being a good example to others. Church, school, family, or society? All of the above. Okay. Leading people to Christ. Church, school, family, society? Church. Okay. Creating good citizens. Church, school, family, society. All of the above. Enforcing laws. No, not me. No. Not me. I guess in a way. So, church, school, family, society. All of the above. Giving kids high self-esteem. Okay. Feeding and clothing children. Family? and church, school, society. Okay. Developing leaders. All of the above, I would say. Okay. Taking care of homeless people. Okay, that's a difficult one, but okay. In our world, I think the lines of those areas have really been kind of grayed and washed out, if you will. Especially when we try to decide whose job it is to do certain things. Parents, they just don't have a lot of time anymore, right? So they don't have a lot of time to spend with their children. Some parents I know work 3 or 4 jobs just to make the ends meet. So when it comes down to things like teaching their children about Jesus, I think sometimes that gets completely delegated to the church. But that should not be the church's primary responsibility. Sometimes you may not get caught by the police when you did something wrong. How many of you remember when you got caught doing something wrong? Well, let me just say, I remember one time, I'll speak from my own personal experience, where I got caught doing something wrong, and the police took me to the police station. I was a juvenile, okay? I was a kid.
No.
Yeah. So the police took me to the police station, and you know what he said? I'm calling your mother. He's like, please no. I'll do anything you want. I'll spend the night here. I'll clean this place. I'll make amends. I'll do whatever I have to do. Just don't call my mother. Because I knew what my mom would do. I'd get punished at home. And then my mom would tell my great-grandfather and my grandfather. And I'd get punished 2 more times. You always get the worst punishment. Sometimes it's hard to know whose job is whose. And I think the church in this world has fallen into that trap with the rest of the world. The church has fallen prey to these gray lines of responsibility and obligation, and sometimes it's given over its responsibilities to the government or to the schools, to the families. Could you imagine a world that is so full of churches serving the poor and the needy that we didn't need a welfare system? Could you imagine that? That's what we're supposed to be doing. So today we're going to kind of talk about a few things that hopefully will help us pull our weight in this system. I think we're going to talk about a few of the things that the church should be responsible for in this world, and some of the things that the church is not responsible for. Some of it may be a shock to you, I don't know. So let's start with the things that the church is supposed to be doing. What do you think those are? Just think of the things that the church should be doing. What are the church's main roles in this world? Now, let me say some things, but be prepared. I want you to understand that this is not an exhaustive list of everything that the church is supposed to be doing. Number one, I think the church should be pulling its own weight in the realm of worshiping the Lord. We should be worshiping God above all else. We're not worshiping budgets. We're not worshiping attendance numbers. We're not worshiping youth groups. We are worshiping the Lord. Romans 12, verse 1. Take a look at it. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. That's what we're supposed to be doing. Worshiping God. Secondly, I think we're supposed to be doing the work of evangelism, or spreading the word of God. Look at Matthew 28. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the very end of the age." Acts 1:8 says a similar thing. "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all of Judea and Samaria." And this is where we come in, and to the end of the earth. Worshiping God. Spreading the word of God. Evangelizing that which has been lost. Number three, I think we need to be talking about benevolence and charity. I think we need to be more hospitable, more generous. 1 Corinthians 16, "Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I directed the churches of Galatia, so that you also are to do, on the first day of the week, each of you is to put something aside and store it up as he may prosper, according to what you have earned," is what he's saying, "so that there will be no collecting when I come." Are you prepared to meet the needs of those who need help? Are you prepared to do that? 2 Corinthians 9, "As it is written, he has distributed freely, he has given to the poor, he has righteousness, his righteousness endures forever." Go to the next one. "I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me." Those are the things that we should be doing. But here's what we do. We say, "Well, we'll hire a preacher. We'll hire a youth minister, associate minister, and they can go do those things." Doesn't say that in here, does it? Doesn't say that that's only the staff's job at a church to do those things. Go to the next slide, Acts 20. "In all things I have shown you that by working hard in this way, we must help the weak, and remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he himself said it. It is what? More blessed to give than to receive." Benevolence and charity. They're all wrapped in together with worshiping the Lord, spreading the word of God, and being generous with what God has blessed us with. I think there's one more in there, James 1. Yeah. "Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unstained from the world." So you have worshiping God, you have this spreading the word of God through evangelism, you have this benevolence and charity, and then finally, you have number four, I think we need to be building each other up. We need to be encouraging one another. Why are we not doing this? Man, how many of you have been on Facebook recently? I don't know if you've noticed it, but it's not a very nice place to go sometimes. How many of you have turned on the TV lately? Let me just ask you, when was the last time you saw a positive story on TV? Okay. Yeah. See? I mean, you got to realize the best thing that came out of Facebook this week is that the Cubs traded 90% of their players. Okay? I mean, that was a great week. I'm telling you. That was wonderful. Yeah. You know, I mean, we need to be building each other up and encouraging one another. It's okay, Cubs fans. There's always next year. Okay? It's all right, you know. I'm trying to be positive for you. Okay. That all sounds great, but what does all of that really, truly mean? So let's take a look at how the church functions in society. See, currently we have a lot of churches in our culture that just come in on Sunday mornings, they open their doors, and there's no contact between there. One of the main things the church has been expected to do is over the years take care of the poor, the widows, the elderly, the orphans, and anyone else who is in need. That's why so many churches have food banks and orphanages and meal programs and clothing programs and food programs throughout the week and other all kinds of things to help people who truly need it. So I want you to answer this question to yourself. And I'm going to put it solely on our shoulders and gauge whether you believe that Central Park is pulling its own weight. What does your church do to help those less fortunate? See, here's the reality. Here's the thing that gets me every time. Hurricane Katrina, the tsunamis overseas, earthquakes, fires, all of those tragedies. The church is pretty good at taking up offerings for people who go through those tragic moments in life. I mean, think about all those that I mentioned. Churches across the globe raised money. I remember when Katrina came through, churches were filling up semis full of bottled waters and sending them south. I mean, just think of all of the things that happened in those tragedies. But the sad truth is that more and more churches are moving away from those types of ministries that truly impact the poor and the needy in very real and practical ways for those giant, glamorous things that happen during a tragedy so everyone can see that you're loading up a semi-truck full of water. Instead of having a food bank, churches have become more prevalent or more popular, if you will, for their buffet lines. Churches, instead of having shelters for the homeless, choose lock-ins for youth. And the reality is this, that as churches, we, across the globe, I'm not just talking about Central Park, across the globe, churches have abandoned children and hope that Social Security will hold out and take care of our elderly. That's what we've held on to for years. Because the church has abandoned quite a bit of its responsibilities in this area. We just kind of let society and social norms and cultures take over in those areas. What about evangelism? Basically, if you don't know what that is, evangelism is simply telling someone about Jesus. How Christ came and lived for them and died for them, and how He could wipe away all of their sins and bring them into heaven with the Lord. That's not very hard, right? To say, hey, Jesus loves you. Not very hard, right? But when was the last time that you told someone about Jesus? It's not hard. When was the last time a new person came into the church or a group sponsored by the churches? We are intimidated by the very thought of telling people about Jesus. I don't know. I understand it. We live in a very different society today. We live in a world that says we can't talk about it out of fear, Maybe we're afraid of the way they'll react or the way they'll respond. Maybe they'll tell us we're crazy. I don't know. Or maybe we're even afraid that we'll get laughed at because we believe. But the main thing isn't about what they believe. It's about what you believe. It's about how you believe that Jesus Christ lived a sinless life, that Jesus came and He bore the sin and the shame of a world upon His shoulders on the cross. He was nailed to that cross, a crown of thorns placed on His head. He was beaten, He was broken, He was bruised for the iniquities of men. And He's hanging on that cross, and He dies on that cross, and He's buried in a tomb, and He's resurrected on the third day and obtains victory over death. That's the Jesus that we serve. That's the Jesus that we love. But the question is this: do you realize that without the spreading of the gospel message of Jesus Christ, that message dies? But a lot of churches sit by week after week, content with the same old thing over and over again. Sunday school classes, worship, communion services, prayer meetings, youth meetings. We sing, we pray, we fellowship with each other. We praise God, we thank God for the things that He does for us. And we're pretty good at those things. I think we're all pretty good at those things. But what I'm asking you to do is gauge right now in this moment how close to God on Sunday morning do you feel? Do you feel close to God every day? Or are we just going through the motions? Does prayer become something that you only do? It's like break glass in case of emergency type deal? Do you fellowship with different people at church? Or do you sit with your friends and ignore the visitors that come in? See, that's the real question of church. I think sometimes we let habit and routine just kind of get the best of us. We just kind of go to church because that's what's been expected over the years. We sing songs because they have a cool beat, and I don't know, maybe you're snoozing through the long prayers or communion or maybe even sermons. Is church really getting an A in this area? What about the impact on the rest of the world? Remember when I said church is about taking all that we know and the Christians into the world, not just any one church that meets a specific building. So what impact do Christians have on the rest of the world? Yesterday, think about all of the impact that you could have had yesterday. And the way that Christ gave you those opportunities. And He woke you up again this morning for the opportunity. Grab your Bibles and look at Matthew 5:13. Matthew 5:13. See, it challenges us to be the difference between salt or garbage. It says that as Christians, we are to live as salt, to be a difference maker in the world. The Message, Bible uses the word garbage. You're either salt or you're garbage. And so you have to choose today which one you are. That sounds very harsh. It basically says that Christians are here to be the salt of the earth and to season it with God's love. And that if we're not doing our job, we're useless and to be thrown in the trash. If God came around and judged each and every one of us right now based on this verse, how many of us would be salt? How many of us would end up in the trash? See, I'm guilty of this. I think we have to be different than the rest of the world. And more than that, we have to have positive influences in our world. Wouldn't you like to see Christians serving Jesus in our government? Wouldn't you like to see Christians serving Jesus in our businesses? Wouldn't you like to see Christians serving in our schools? They're there. But wouldn't you like to see it? Politicians have the power to make laws, right? Those laws impact religious freedom and other cultural issues like abortion, death penalty, euthanasia, all of those. In business, a Christian can be honest, fair, compassionate, and kind. A non-Christian business would lead to cheating, lying, power struggles, abuse of that power, all of those things. And so in schools, Christians can impact the theories of creation that get taught. They could change the culture in those areas. What a day that could be. Christians have more impact than we could ever imagine. But if Christians don't step out and become that salt that we're talking about, that this world so desperately needs, others are going to step forward with an alternative message of their own. So, when you leave this place today, I want you to choose to either be the salt of this earth or to not make an impact at all. You need to be different and make an impact. You need to tell others about God and live a life that people notice God in you. Because that's when being a part of God's church is really about. It's about choice. Will you be salt or garbage? Will you be salt or not? When you leave this place today, you make that choice. Where do you stand with Jesus today? Maybe you're here today and you're saying, you know what, God, I believe in you. I know that you're real. I've just never really given my life to you. Maybe you're here today and you've already given your life to Christ through baptism, and maybe you just need to rededicate your life. Whatever that need is, this is that opportunity for you to join in a message that says, I choose to be a difference maker. I'm going to carry my own weight in this world. And when I can't carry that anymore, Jesus is going to pick it up and run with it. That because of His love for me, I give my life to Him. Because when we begin to care about the message of Christ, we begin to become a people that is more concerned about benevolence, that is more concerned about generosity, that is more concerned about spreading the gospel of Christ, that is more concerned about worshiping the Lord Himself above anything else that this world has to offer. Because that's truly what being part of God's church is all about, my friends. It's your choice to be salt or garbage. Father God, today we thank you that you are challenging us to rise up and begin to pull our own weight in this world that is so lost. To share your love and message through Jesus Christ coming, living a sinless life, dying on the cross, being resurrected, and now sitting victorious over death. And through His death, burial, and resurrection, we have life. Father, forgive us when we sin. Forgive us when we fail you. Lord, over and over and over again, we try and go it our own way. We fail. We fall short. But that's okay, because we serve a loving, risen Savior that if we just lay those sins and shortcomings at the foot of the cross, you take those, Lord. You forgive us, restore us, transform us into something new. Today, Father, help us as we leave this place to be the salt that you have asked us to be that difference maker that carries the weight and the message of Jesus Christ to the world. Help us to be people who are concerned about the well-being of others. Father, help us to be people that are concerned with just generosity and being involved in our communities and challenging the current cultural status with the message and the love of Jesus Christ. It's in His name we pray. Amen. Let's stand together. If you have a decision to make, won't you come? Whether you need prayer, whether you need maybe a dedication, a rededication of your life, maybe you're giving your life to Christ for the very first time, whatever that need is, won't you come as we sing this morning?